Our first scripture reading is found in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 9th chapter, beginning at verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it. With justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. Zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, verses 43 through 51. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened, angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Our text is based on your gospel lesson for today and also the words from Isaiah. In particular, Nathanael's answer to Jesus, when Jesus revealed to him his all-seeing character. Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." This is our text. You know, here in these United States, we're not too accustomed to understanding the role of a king in the world. It's been a couple of hundred years since we've had to deal with kings, and we didn't like them even back then. The way life operates for us in these United States, and, you know, we just had an election. If you don't like the laws a particular government is passing, well, you just elect somebody else to take their place. And, you know, you don't have to have a reason for not voting for someone. I mean, you can just not like a person. Use that as your reason for throwing them out of office. In these United States and in other nations around the world, the government is run by the people. The people make the laws. You know, for most of history, that's not how it worked. For most of history, nations were ruled by kings. If you didn't like the law a king passed, too bad. If you didn't want to follow it, he could do to you whatever he wanted. You could be executed for jaywalking or just because he didn't like you. The power of kings was absolute. And if you thought something was unfair or just not right, it didn't make any difference. The authority of the king was absolute. His power was absolute. You didn't tell him what you wanted him to do. He told you what you would do or else. For most of history, that's how it worked. And people, for most of history, usually didn't like their king. Because after all, kings were sinners just like you and I. They were usually more interested in protecting their power than serving the people that were under them. They were the Lord's. They had to be obeyed. But they were not always just. They're not always fair. Love was often not present in their hearts. And vengeance rather than mercy could often be the guide for their actions. Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Perhaps it's because we've been living under a democratic type of government for so long that when it comes to acknowledging Jesus as King, I don't think in our culture most people understand what that really means. Talk to people, your friends, co-workers, fellow students, about who God is, and it's amazing the kind of answers that you might get. And I've had experiences like this myself and can tell you that when somebody gives you a goofy explanation about who Jesus is or who God is, and you say, "Well, that's not what the scripture says," the kind of answer you might get is, "Well, I don't care what the Bible says. That's what I think." As if we're the ones who make God. As if we can tell the king who he is and what he should do. That's not how it works. The God whom we serve is all-seeing. Saw Nathanael under the fig tree even when he wasn't bodily present. He knows all things. With a word, he can bring the world into existence, and if he wanted to, with a word, he could take it out. If we didn't know our Lord God as we know him through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to acknowledge the fact that he is king of our lives would be a scary thing. Someone with absolute power, the ability to judge us and condemn us. There's nothing we can do about it. With our knowledge of what earthly kings have been like, who would want to acknowledge God is King of our lives. But while Jesus is King, he's not a king like all the other kings that have lived on this planet. He has all power. He has all authority. He has the ability to judge each and every one of us. But he has something else that he values above all the other attributes of God that I just named. 1 John chapter 4. God is love. He just doesn't try to love. He doesn't work at it sometimes and then other times forgets about it. He is love. All the time. Every day. Every minute, every second. God so loved the world. He is a merciful God who values his love and his mercy so great that at times, not forever, at least temporarily, all those other attributes that we acknowledge he possesses as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he will sometimes set aside in order to be the King of Love. He is a God of glory, who sits enthroned in heaven on high. But as we read, for instance, in Paul's letter to the Philippians, Jesus did not count equality with God as something to be grasped. The actual Greek word is there. It's kind of like something to be stolen. Something so valuable and precious that you would sacrifice everything else in order to possess it. He did not count equality with God as something to be grasped, but he humbled himself, taking on the form of a servant, humbling himself to death, even death on a cross. Our King is glorious, but for a time he set that glory aside because he is a king that desires to serve his people. As Jesus also said himself, the Son of Man came not to be served, to serve. Give his life as a ransom for many. Our God is a just God. And at some point in time, he will establish his justice, not what you think is right or wrong, not what you think is fair or unfair. He will establish his justice. Not just in heaven where it already exists, but on earth itself. And all who will not be conformed to it will be condemned eternally to hell. But for the time, he has set his justice aside. And most, both beautifully and horribly. He laid down his ability to be just by taking his own innocent son, who lived a life of perfect obedience to him, and allowed him to be put to death in one of the cruelest forms of death ever devised by man. Death on the cross. Where was justice then? Why should an innocent man die? Because God is the King of love and mercy. And all that wrath that rightfully belonged to us, he poured out upon his own Son, who willingly suffered it, that he might serve, that he might redeem you and I. God's glory was set aside to serve his love. God's justice was set aside to serve his love. And God's judgment upon the world, which it rightly deserves, has been set aside for a time, people might come to know the real King of glory. A glorious God, a just God, a God who will judge all those who refuse to obey him, but preeminently, God of love and mercy. A king whose greatest goal is not to be served by others, but to serve others, the sacrifice of himself. That not out of fear, but out of love for him who loved us first, who willingly offer ourselves to him as servants for all eternity. This is the God that Nathanael met in the person of Jesus Christ. A king, but a king like no other king has ever existed on earth. Yes, a king who can judge, a king who can command obedience, a king who is glorious, but most of all, the King of love and mercy and grace. And that king will come again to establish the kingdom that he wants his world to be. And when he comes again, God grant that we not see his coming as something to fear, as we could even ever dream up such a king, not because we have told him what to be, but we welcome him because he has revealed through the person of Jesus Christ who he is to us, the kingdom he wants us to live in. And the world redeemed by the death of his own Son, that we might serve him in everlasting righteousness and innocence and blessedness. As we draw near to the birth of our Savior, let us welcome our King. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.